We will now do the reading from Luke 2, verses 8 to 20. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified.
在伯利恒之野地里, 有牧羊的人夜间按着根刺看守羊群, 有主的使者站在他们旁边, 主的荣光四面照着他们, 牧羊的人就甚惧怕。
But the angel said to them, Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.
那天使对他们说, 不要惧怕, 我报给你们大喜的信息, 是关乎万民的, 因今天在大卫的城里, 为你们生了救主, 就是主基督。 你们要看见一个婴孩, 包着布, 卧在马槽里, 那就是记号了。
Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom His favor rests.
忽然有一大队天兵, 同那天使赞美神说, 在至高之处, 荣耀归于神, 在地上, 平安归于他所喜悦的人。
When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them.
牧羊的人彼此说，我们往伯利恒去，看看所成的事，就是主所指示我们的。他们急忙去了，就寻见玛利亚和约瑟，又有那婴孩卧在马槽里。既然看见，就把天使论这孩子的话传开了。凡听见的，就诧异牧羊之人对他们所说的话。
But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them into her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
그러이서 이 고산아이트 카롤라요 금빛의 빛. Welcome to this, our carols from around the world. Well, I'm going to start with a question. What is the best news you've ever heard? Now, for some of you, that will be a really easy question to answer. Your mind goes straight to a particular time in your life. Maybe it's a time when you heard some amazing news to do with yourself. Maybe it's a time when you heard amazing news about a person you dearly love. Or maybe it's a time you heard amazing news about something you care deeply about. Yet, maybe for some of you here, it's a little harder. There are many moments in your life when you have heard good news, but you can't think of one that maybe stands out above the others. Well, if you were to ask the shepherds in the story that we had read to us this morning what was the best news they had ever heard, they would answer you straight away. They wouldn't have to pause. The answer is what the angels told them that night 2,000 years ago. And that is what we're going to focus on very briefly this morning. Well, first of all, we need to know kind of where and when this story that we had read to us was happening. Well, this isn't a made-up story. This isn't fiction. This actually happened. It is history. And it happened around 2,000 years ago. And it happened in a place called Bethlehem and its surrounding fields, which today is a Palestinian town south of Jerusalem in the West Bank. Now, the story starts with us being introduced to shepherds. Now, shepherds are people that look after sheep. And in Wales, if you've managed to leave Cardiff and traveled around the countryside, it's a very common sight to see the sheep on the hills. And so it would have been also for the people living in and around Bethlehem. 2,000 years ago, the role of a shepherd was a bit complicated. Because in some ways, they were very good people to have, because you need people to look after your sheep. And the picture of a shepherd in the Old Testament, the first part of the Bible, was a very positive one, because many of the great men of the Old Testament were at some time shepherds. But no one wanted to be a shepherd, because it wasn't an easy job. The pay was low, and the working conditions were really, really bad. You would sleep out in the fields with the sheep, protecting the sheep from robbers, people who wanted to steal the sheep, and wild animals. So in the heat and in the freezing cold, you'd be out in the fields. It was a very low job in society. And so there they were, the shepherds, looking after the sheep at night, maybe with a small fire to keep themselves warm, maybe to keep the wild animals away as well, when something truly amazing, unexpected happened. Now, at various times in the Bible, God sends messengers, created heavenly beings called angels. And here, an angel appeared to the shepherds with great power. The phrase, the glory of the Lord, shone around. Maybe the best way that we can describe it is a very bright, powerful light. Although I don't think it quite does it justice. Whatever this angel and the glory of the Lord looked like, it terrified the shepherds. Now, these shepherds were tough men. Their job was to stay out in the heat and the freezing cold, fighting off wild animals and the people that were trying to steal their sheep. And even they were terrified. These were hard men. They were constantly on guard to defend themselves as well as defend the sheep. And these men were terrified by what they saw. How on earth would we feel? And so here we have a group of terrified shepherds and an angel. And what does the angel tell them? Well, the words of the angel changes not just the lives of those shepherds, but actually changes the lives of all peoples. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. So the first thing the angel says to these terrified shepherds is, don't be afraid. He comforts the shepherds. They were probably still on the edge of being terrified, but at least maybe a little less so now that the angel said, you don't need to be. Then he says, what I'm about to tell you is amazing news. It is good news. News that will bring you such joy, but not just for you, shepherds on a hill, but for all people. Now, we find out later in this book where the passage was taken, the book of Luke, and especially in the second volume of the book of Luke, called the book of Acts, that this amazing message is for all nations. So people with all kinds of flags representing your countries. It's amazing news for all of us here this morning, no matter where we call home. So this is a great introduction from the angel. He's saying, don't be afraid, I've got great news for you. Now, what does he say then? He says, good news that will cause great joy for all the people, but it gets better. The angel says that that very night, now not in a few years, not in a few months, not in a few weeks, not in a few hours, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. That very night, something very special has happened. The town of David is another name for the town of Bethlehem. And in the rest of this passage, we are told two main things that we're going to talk about briefly this morning. The first is, who is this child? What kind of titles has this child got? And the second is, what peace does he give us? So first of all, who is this child? Well, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. So the child has three titles: Savior, Messiah, and Lord. So Savior. Now the Bible says that if you've ever said, if you've ever done, if you've ever thought anything against God, in other words, if you've lived your life without God being perfectly in the center of your life, then you have sinned. And actually, that's everyone. I mean, no one has lived a perfect life until this child was born. And so we all need a Savior, someone to save us from our sin. Sin is basically breaking God's law. And so the only one who can forgive us our sin is God himself. It's his law that we've broken. And that is why this news from the angel is amazing. God is sending his eternal son into the world. This child has authority to forgive sins because he is God. He is our Savior. So he's our Savior. Secondly, this strange word, Messiah. It's a Hebrew word. There's a Greek word, Christos, or we call Christ, which is why we call Jesus, Jesus Christ. Christ is the title he has, and it means anointed one. The one who, through the Old Testament, the first part of the Bible, the Israelites, the Jews, were waiting for. The final king, the final prophet, the final priest. The one who would bring us back to God. So this Messiah, this Christ, is the one who would bring us back into a relationship with God. So this child is a Savior, he's the Messiah, and he is Lord. Now this is a title given to someone who you will follow, the one who is worthy to be followed. You can think of the people that you will follow in life. Who will you trust? Well, this child is very special. This child, Jesus Christ, is the one who we trust with our entire lives. The one who becomes the center of our lives. So Savior, Messiah, and Lord. These are the amazing titles given to the one who has just been born in Bethlehem. This is truly amazing news. The person who has been born will change everything. The person who has been born will save us. He is the long-awaited one and is worthy for us to follow him as Lord. And so surely this person will be born in a king's palace, surrounded by luxuries, signs of wealth and power. Surely there will be gold and silk and furs with the softest of beds, the cleanest of environments with hundreds of people waiting to serve him. Not quite. The angel says, this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. This is shocking. Not only will this child be born in a king's palace, but he will be wrapped in cloths, ripped up pieces of clothing, and sleeping not in a lovely soft bed made of furs and silk, but sleeping in a manger, a place where animals eat their food. Not really the cleanest of environments. So what is going on here? And just as the shepherds are trying to work out what's just been said to them, another amazing thing happens. The angel terrified the shepherds. Well, now the angel is joined by all his friends. A huge number of angels, a massive choir. If the shepherds were terrified before, what were they reacting to here? And this massive choir of angels are praising God, saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. So what does this word glory actually mean? Well, in one sense, it means honor. It means praise. It means admiration. Glory to God is expressing, it is saying who God is. God is in many ways beyond words. And yet we can praise him with our words and with our actions. And that is what we are doing here this morning. And that is what the angels were doing that night. They are simply praising the one who they know is most worthy of praise and praising him for what has happened that night. Praising God comes as naturally to the angels as breathing is to us. So the second point, what kind of peace does this child bring? Well, this Savior, this Messiah, this Lord brings the best kind. There will be various answers to the question, what is the most important thing we need? Well, the Bible tells us that the most important thing that we need is peace with God. To have our relationship with God fixed, to have it restored, so that we are no longer distant and living apart from God, but brought back into a relationship with God, to have peace with God. We were meant to know God. That is why we were created, to know him and to enjoy him forever. But how can this be? How can a child 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem give us peace with God? Well, the reason we don't have peace with God is because we have turned our backs on God. We have sinned. That is the reason we do not have peace. But what if someone could take away the punishment for our sin? What if someone could pay the price for our sin? What if all the wrong that we have done towards God, all the things that we have thought, that we have done, and that we have said against God could be placed on someone else? And we, in return, well, we received a fixed, restored relationship with God, peace with God. And this child, this Savior, this Messiah, this Lord did exactly that. This child lived a perfect life, never sinned, and then willingly died on a cross, a form of execution carried out by the Romans at that time, in order to pay the price for our sins. That's the reason he came. God's anger towards us because of our sin is turned away. We are then adopted into his family as dearly loved children. He is our loving father. We are not afraid anymore. We now have peace with God. So we have peace with God. Secondly, we have peace with ourselves. By putting our trust in God, by putting our hopes and our dreams in his hand, we begin to be freed from the damaging anxieties and worries of this world. God knows too well the way in which the pressures of this world crush us, the way in which failed hopes and dreams can fill us with guilt and with sadness, which is why we are told to come to God, to bring everything to God, to pray to him. And when we do that, then his peace will come to us, a peace that cannot come any other way. And it will guard our hearts, and it will guard our minds. And all of this is possible because of the one who the angels has just announced to the world, Jesus Christ, peace with ourselves. Thirdly and finally, so we have peace with God, we have peace with ourselves, and we have peace with one another. Not only do we have peace with God, but we have a peace that changes the way we live our lives with one another. It often feels like we have very little control over our relationships with others. Having peace with others sometimes feels so hard. Sometimes we're surprised by how relationships get broken. Bad feelings replace peace and joy. We cannot control how someone else behaves, which is especially difficult when it involves us. When you're driving around, maybe here in Cardiff, and you're in a side street, and you want to come out to the main street, and you're waiting for someone to let you out. And someone is very kind, and they let you out, they flash their lights, they wave you, and you think, oh, thank you. Well, you're actually more likely to be kind to someone else as you drive along. You might be even looking to see, oh, who can I get let out? It's interesting how that works. And yet, when we remind ourselves of what God has done for us, he sent his son, Jesus Christ, the Savior, the Messiah, the Lord, so that our sins can be forgiven and we can now have peace with God, we are then more able to forgive others. When someone is unkind or simply doesn't do what we think that they should do, we can become peacemakers. When it would be so, so, so easy to be nasty and unkind, and because we have been hurt, we take a step back. We remind ourselves of what God has already done for us. How much our bad behavior has been forgiven. And we do as much as we can to bring peace to that situation. But we are not expected to simply do this in our own strength. Using what God has done simply as an example, we would fail. God strengthens us. He works in us so that we are more godly in our words, in our actions, and in our thoughts. He does not leave us on our own. This child born in Bethlehem gives us peace with God, peace with ourselves, and peace with one another. So the obvious question becomes, do we have to do anything in order to receive this amazing offer? Yes, we do. The angel says, yes, there is peace to those on whom his favor rests. Who is that? Well, it's those that believe this child, Jesus Christ, to be the Son of God. Those that believe him to be the Savior, needing forgiveness for our sins. That he is the Messiah, the promised one, the Son of God, and their Lord, the one that they will follow. In another passage in the Bible, it says this: For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And so with all this information, what actually do the shepherds do? Well, immediately, they go looking for this child in Bethlehem. They find him, and then they do what the angels did to the shepherds. They go around telling everyone they could find what they had heard and what they had seen. They couldn't hold it in. They just wanted to tell everyone about this amazing thing that had happened. They then go back to their fields. Their jobs is the same. Nothing has changed with the jobs, but they are not the same. They now have peace with God, peace with themselves, and peace with one another. That is what the Christmas message meant to them. And so I finish with a question. What is the Christmas message to you?